Hey everybody, I'm Tim, and this is...
Bryce.
And you're listening to Zombies of the Hippie Trail, a podcast about all things cannabis, uncensored and unabashed. Bryce, I have no idea why we came up with that, or no, and I don't, you know what, that wasn't even a wee thing, that was a me thing, that was when I was writing this up for Instagram, I was like, cannabis, uncensored and unabashed. And it's the dumbest sounding thing I won't even say that. It's pretty dumb, but not the dumbest, I'm sure.
Bryce, I mean, I like it. It was pretty creative, I thought so.
Well, I appreciate that. Dude, how are you? We haven't done this in a while.
It's been a while, man. I'm good, dude. Not too bad. Not too bad. Just finally getting my grows back going again. Still doing a lot of training for jiu-jitsu and still working my other job as well, too, man. So just staying busy.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Same here, minus all the jiu-jitsu stuff and, you know, anything physical like that. growing pot and going to work. And Bryce, there are so many physical activities occurring that I don't even have time to talk about them because we typically only have an hour on the show. So, yeah. I'm pumping a lot of iron and stuff. So... doing a lot of exercises,
picking up all the heavy things and putting them down.
Mm-hmm. Picking up heavy things and putting them down.
There you go.
And then picking them back up and then putting them back down. It's this whole routine I've got. Okay, so question for you: remind me, what are you growing again right now, and where are you in the process?
I'm only about 3 weeks right now, probably from sprout, and I got some cement chews by Colt Classic. I'm really excited for it because I haven't grown a like hard quote unquote indica yet. So I want a really good body high one.
That's awesome. So you said you're about 3 weeks into veg?
Yes.
Very cool. What light cycle do you use for veg? Are you like 24-0, 18-6, something freaky that I don't even know about?
So when I first started growing, I was, how could I say this? I don't know. I was kind of fanboyed out over a certain breeder. Me and you both know who this is. I listened to what he said because I thought that it was always good advice. And I learned really quickly, you can't just trust some people you meet on the internet. You know what I mean? So I was doing the 17.7 or something like that. Now I'm doing 18.6.
18.6. Okay.
Yes. Yes. So it's the first time I've actually grown in veg with an 18.6. So I'm really excited to see how it goes.
Oh, nice. Nice. Very cool. I first started like my very first grow was 24-0. And I feel bad about that now.
Torturing those plants.
It is what it is. I mean, I end up like setting on fire afterward anyway. So,
you know, that is a good point.
You know what I'm saying? Ever since then, I've adopted the 18-6, which works great. Because you know that like the plants need that period of rest because during daylight hours they are. They're storing light energy, and it's during those nighttime hours where they're no longer focusing their energy on collecting and storing, but it's processing, utilizing, and transitioning using that built up energy to actually grow, you know, causes cell division, things like that.
Right.
So that's why that dark period is so important. I mean, you would think that like, you know, more light is the best, but if you never turn those lights off, then the plants don't really ever have a chance to fully utilize all that light energy that they're taking in.
Absolutely.
So that break is so important.
Yeah. It's just like everything else on this earth. We all need sleep, you know?
Yeah, no, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. Except for sharks, right? They don't sleep, or do they?
I think you just made that up.
I might have. Okay. more on that later. Do sharks.
We will find out.
Hey, drop us a comment.
How about this? We'll announce the answer on Shark Week. There you go.
On Shark Week. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Tune in August and we will we'll circle back to this conversation.
Damn, I'm impressed you know when Shark Week is.
Oh, yeah, dude. I love Shark Week. But here's the thing. I don't even like sharks that much. There are a few things in life that I just don't appreciate as much as others. Sharks, space, and dinosaurs. I'm serious, man.
I like it, bro.
And also, I mean, well, you know what? I'm going to leave that last one. But sharks, dinosaurs, and space, I'm not all about that life. Like when there's stuff on TV about it, I'm like, pass most of the time. Most of the time.
I'm a space junkie, dude. I'd love to learn about that stuff.
Really? Would you go?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I would go in a heartbeat. I mean, let's be real. We all got to die sooner or later. And if I got to die being blasted off into space, then so be it, man. That would be a pretty cool way to go.
I mean, that's pretty much like going down in a blaze of glory. Seriously.
Oh,
like,
100%.
By definition. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Well, we got off the rails real fast with this episode.
Yeah, I know. hey, what are you growing? I'd go to space. I would go to space in a heartbeat.
Oh, my God.
Yep. This is going to be a good one, guys.
Oh, man. That's
we are stuff, 8 dude. Minutes, 59 seconds in, and we are talking about space. Also,
space.
We've probably been just like really talking for about 3 minutes. There's probably a good 6-ish minutes of just nonsense that we'll cut out of here. Maybe more than that. Maybe we'll start over. I don't even know.
maybe we'll have to. Who knows?
Maybe we might have to. So let's see. Where am I? Oh, you know what? Here's an interesting fact. A bit of a tidbit. My wife recently applied for her cannabis card, her medical card.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
It's a good thing. You know, now we can grow low THC, high CBD strains, in addition to, you know, the ones that I need, because she's really THC sensitive. And yeah. Of course, you know, the higher CBD ratios help offset the effects, and just having a lower THC percentage overall, I think, is good to people who are really sensitive to it.
Absolutely, man. That's cool. That's, you know, if I had enough space, I 110% would grow some CBD high strains.
Dude, sure. So not gonna lie, I bought some hemp seeds.
Nice.
Just because, I mean, why not? Like I was thinking, like, even if I couldn't find. And this is, and I'm not sure if I'm correct in this or not, but I feel like strains that are advertised as high CBD strains, they're hit or miss. Like, you know, I think it's phenotypical,
right?
Or at least the variation is. So, you know, you may have like a 1-to-1 or a 1-to-5-1 CBD to THC, or maybe you're going to be really fucking unlucky and get like 3-to-1 THC
and blast you all in space.
Yeah. You know, like, so I think, my thought was, you know, I'll buy some hemp seeds and grow some hemp and just mix it myself, and then I'll know the ratio. I mean, take the guesswork right out of it, you know?
Absolutely, man.
Just mix, like, you know, like maybe, you know, 25%, you know, cannabis, like THC rich cannabis with, you know, 3/4 hemp and start there, you know, and see what that does.
Right. I like that, man. I love that idea. Yeah. I think that's really cool, Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's super cool. So is your wife obviously applying for cultivation? Oh, sorry.
Yes. Oh, no, you're good. I was just going to drop a thing here. I was just going to say, we're going to just call those like, you know, marijuana lights or something, just in case anybody else is thinking of stealing that. Dibs.
Marijuana legal. Lights. I like it. That's good.
But yeah, cultivation. Yes, we applied for that as well. And of course, we're going to share the same grow space, and it'll allow us to grow up to 12 plants in flower at one time.
Awesome.
So in Missouri, it's 12 plants in flower, 12 plants that are like in veg that are 14 inches or taller, and then 12 plants that are sprouts, which would be less than 14 inches. So,
and I just want to correct that really quick. It would be 6 per person, though. So it's only 6 person, not 12. Yeah, for you two,
it'll be 12. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Good clarification there. Yes, 6 plants per person, or 18 total, six of each stage per person. Quick math.
Quick math. I'm impressed.
So right now, the two strains that I'm growing, I have Coast to Coast Piff, which is Night Piff crossed to Piff S1. No, S1, yes. What was that noise, Bryce?
S1? What was it?
I heard like a ghost. It was horrible, like screeching noise.
Oh, I have no clue, Tim. I have headphones on, so I don't know if there's something here behind me. Get away.
All right, yeah. Weird. Me too. Okay, so we might have to do some editing there, but we'll circle back around there. Yeah.
What about your tents?
Oh, yeah. So, okay, in my 5x5, I have Coast to Coast Piff, which is Night Piff crossed with Piff S1. And Night Piff is it's a cross of a strain called Nightcap with Piff. So Nightcap, I think, is like a really heavy, like an older indica, really strong. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And then in the 4x4, I have a couple Mosca bubblegum S1s. See what those are going to do. They're really slow and veg, dude.
Really?
The Piff plants. I've got a super short phenotype, which is about I'd say three plants, and then there's one phenotype that's just super tall and lanky and like huge internodal spacing. So I'll be really curious to see what those do. But like the bubblegum, which are the exact same age, are just tiny compared to those. Like they're, and you can even see like they're so much wider, the leaves in structure. Like they have so much more of those, what we consider like indica characteristics,
right?
That they're just these tiny little bushes, and they just keep getting bushier and not that much taller. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Well, that's good if you have a vertical, you know, problem.
Yeah, for sure.
Dude, my cement shoes are kind of opposite. They are such heavy feeders. I mean, you know, feeders, I'm not putting anything in it besides water, but I mean, they drink it up. It is crazy. Really? Oh my gosh, dude, even like tiny plants, like it threw me off for a minute because I'm like, maybe I'm overwatering, and that's why they're kind of looking a little like droopy, but it wasn't like the overwater droopy where they look all saggy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's two different there. The underwater looks a little different. And I was like, there's no way they can be drinking this much at this little of a stage. And I mean, every day I'm watering, Tim. Every day I'm adding water to them. And they are only 3 weeks in veg.
Wow.
It is crazy. And you know, they're not a full 3 weeks either. I know that for sure. I'm just saying 3 weeks to round it up.
You must have like some thirsty little fuckers. I mean,
it's crazy.
Are they growing?
Oh, super fast. They're growing really? Very fast. Yeah.
Interesting. What's the lineage behind them? Do you remember?
I would have to look it up, Tim. Let me look it up here really quick. I just had it on here. I'm really excited for your, was the gum one? Dandelion gum? What am I saying?
Bubblegum.
That's what it is.
Indiana bubblegum. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
I'm really excited about that because, that was one of the first, like, I would say like one of the first three like named strains that I had ever heard of when I was younger.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those wild things where it's like, oh, there's pot that smells like gum. You know, like, what?
Sounds crazy.
That's crazy. Also though, I have, a problem with, overly, poetic descriptions of some strains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, it's a playful like version of creme brulee and blah 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 blah, and with notes of, you know, toasted coconut and all this crazy shit, and I'm like, nope, that smells
just,
like pot.
It's just dank weed.
Yep,
I feel the same way. So my cement shoes, it's animal cookies with OGKB, which is OG Kush Breath, and Wet Dream. So it's those cross. I know animal cookies is a Girl Scout cookies cross with, I think, Fire OG, I believe.
Oh.
And then Wet Dream, I know, has a Blue Dream in there with some other haze. I can't remember.
Interesting. Yes. Well, that sounds like a fun one.
Yeah. And then OG Kush Breath is obviously, isn't it part of a Girl Scout Cookies blend too?
Yes. Yeah. They're connected somehow.
Yeah. So that's I'm really excited for that one, man. That one's going to be, I feel like it really be a good heavy hitter. I'm very excited for it.
Yeah. It sounds like it will be. I mean, yeah. That'll be interesting. Like, the effects should be maybe balanced, but I mean, mm-hmm. there are some interesting strains in there.
I'm really excited to see a real good
indica for sure.
Absolutely, I agree. And that's, you know, I don't have my big tent going yet. I just have that one tent right now, so that's all I have currently.
Okay. I was thinking about upgrading, but probably not yet. I would love to put like a 5x10 mm-hmm. in my room instead of having like the 4x4 and the 5x5, but
yeah.
I might just wait because I would like to move at some point and, you know, just have a grow space and just get rid of the tents and have dedicated rooms. So that would be that'd be better.
I agree. That's definitely an end goals right there for sure. To have a whole like basement dedicated to growing.
Yeah, that would be the best. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you have a set number of days or weeks that you like to keep your plants and veg before you flower them?
You know, Tim, I really don't, man. I'm pretty lax in the way I grow. And I think you're kind of the same way too. You know, I mm-hmm. go off a lot of how I feel by just looking at the plants. And, you know, I do usually like to wait until they pre-flower. That's just always been kind of a rule of thumb. And it doesn't seem like it takes too long usually for pre-flowers to show. But also I will flip if they're growing like crazy. I know height's going to be a problem. I'll just have to flip sometimes. Like with the, what I grow in the last tent, my big tent, the Pac-Man. And
yeah. Were they really quick in veg?
Oh, they were, dude, they shot up so fast. Having that swabby land race in there with it. I mean, they freaking took off. But by the time that I need to flip, they were already pre-flowered anyways. So, I mean, it worked out good.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So I keep a log of like all of my stats basically.
Mm-hmm.
Out of everything that I've grown, the shortest duration that I ever had in veg was 32 days.
Yeah.
And 83, on some other strains. So, 32 days in veg, that was, and those plants, man, like they absolutely stretched like a mother. Like they,
oh, yeah.
Holy hell. I mean, they shot up as seedlings, and I mean, they were vigorous as all hell. Like you couldn't stop them. I remember those were the ones that like my lights ended up burning.
Was that the Colonel Poontang ones?
That was the one.
I remember. That got so crazy, bro.
Yeah. They were out of control.
Yeah.
I've never had anything, come close to those as far as like, just explosive growth. It was nutty.
Right. Yeah, I'm kind of worried about my cement shoes, honestly. How fast they're growing already, I'm like, oh, shit. Needs to slow down a little bit. I'm going to flip maybe earlier than I wanted to.
So I think I'm with my bubblegum. I ended up flipping my my PIF mm-hmm. on the 2nd of this month. So they've been in for about 6 days. But the bubblegum, they're still in veg. So I should be like right around day 58. Day 58 in veg for them, and they're still like about a foot tall. I mean, they're yeah, dude, slow as
that
hell.
Is crazy, man. Yeah, those are super slow. I'm excited mm-hmm. to see how they flower though, like how they actually branch out.
Same, yeah. I imagine like really tight bushes, but we'll see.
Right.
But I mean, that's an indica for you. You know, that's
right.
That I mean, and so there's one of the plants has like these super broad, like they almost look like maple leaves. They're so like over exaggerated. So I've got my eye on that one. I'm curious to see what that one turns out to be.
Heck yeah, man. That's super cool. Are you taking clones or you take cuts at all?
You know what? I did last time with some of the testers that I was growing, and then the plants that I was actually growing out ended up herming, so I didn't keep the clones. This time I thought about it, but honestly with the number of strains that I have in seed form and with the limited space that I have, it doesn't make any sense for me to start, you know, keeping cuts at this point or taking cuts. If there's something that really, really knocks my socks off, then maybe, Right. Maybe I'll run it twice, but at this point, it's like, man, I just need to keep on trying stuff. You know, why not? Yeah.
For sure, man. I totally get it. I mean, I've taken clones mainly just in case, you know, I ever find something I absolutely want to keep. But I haven't grown them out. I've actually gifted almost all of them.
Yeah. See, we had that thing going on like for a minute where we were keeping like a Google Doc or something between a few of us. And that just kind of fizzled out. Didn't really do anything.
Yeah. I think we all just kind of got nervous. I think some people are nervous to ship.
Yeah. Yeah. So, agreed. Yeah. Yep. 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 Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
So you recently had a lab test done in your soil.
Yes, sir. I sure did.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. So I had it done. It was for my raised bed and I had it, done that. I'm down close to Springfield where Missouri State is. And I just basically take it there and they send it all the way up to MU. So, it goes up to MU and, I got the soil test back and I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of disappointed in it. It wasn't as thorough as I wanted it to be. And some of the information that came back on the test was conflicting and a little confusing. I'm pretty sure I sent it to you and we discussed this too.
Yes. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly though, from what I got back, I just wish it had a little bit more details, you know, like it definitely gives me my basics, like my pH, my soluble salts, my phosphorus, potassium, calcium, magnesium, and they gave me the nitrate and that's it. You know, I wish they would have included, you know, iron or, you know, just some of the micronutrients.
Like trace minerals.
Yeah. The trace nutrients. Thank you. That's what I'm thinking of. Trace minerals.
Yeah, absolutely. So from what I remember when you sent me a copy of it, it showed like, you know, the baseline for one of the measured, what the hell am I trying to say?
Like the pH. I think I know what you're trying to say. Like, so it shows the desired range of the pH.
Yeah, yeah,
6.5
yeah.
To like 7.4 is what they have.
Right, right. Yeah. So, yeah. So like, you know, whatever the metal was or whatever, mm-hmm. You know, whatever that component of the soil was, there we go.
Yes.
So they had a baseline set for that component of the soil. And what I remember was like, you know, it would say that, you know, X is low.
I actually got it pulled up right here. I'll read it off. So it says,
it would say like you were, you know, you were by number, you were high, but then in the results, it would say that it was low. I mean, you know, it's great.
It made no sense. It was very conflicting. Like it says desired pH range is 6.5 to 7.4. It shows my results. My actual pH was 6.43, which is right where I want it to be. I mean, that's where I want it to be personally. And within their range, it's perfect. Actually, it's a little lower, but on the interpretation, they have it as high. I'm like, what? Come on. What's going on there? It's just either lackadaisical stuff, like not really paying attention to it and just kind of throwing it together. I'm not sure. I'm not going to say you're in Bastion. You know, I got what I needed out of it. So that's cool. I just wish it was a little bit more prompt and professional. I waited like 4 weeks for it.
Goodness. Yeah. That's, I'd have been disappointed in that too, I think.
Yeah, it was a little disappointing. I was just expecting a little bit more of it, but hey, I got what I needed and it made me feel a little bit more comfortable about amending my bed.
So with that being said, what have you decided on as far as amendments?
So, I actually already did it and I put in, alfalfa meal, kelp meal, fishbone meal, fish meal, crab meal, langbeinite is how I think you say it. It's like that mineral. And then azomite.
Okay. Yeah. So that's almost identical to what I use to amend. I think the only difference is, there was one of the meals that I didn't. Okay, I don't use fishbone meal.
Mm-hmm.
I use crustacean meal, which I think is the crab meal.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
And, yeah, it smells like piss.
Awesome.
Just the worst. and then I use volcanic rock dust. And I think it's just like a blend of probably the same things that you're using. So
yeah, yep. That's I bet it's somewhere around there. And what is azomite again? I forgot. I know it's like something that a lot of people use. I just totally forgot what it is. Do you know what you're in?
No. Yeah.
Is it like A to Z trace minerals?
Yep. That's
right?
It.
Isn't that it? A to Z trace minerals or something like that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. So it's essentially volcanic rock dust.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, cool. Okay, cool.
But what I did to amend it, man, it was way easier than I thought it was going to be. I just literally took, and it was all down-to-earth products as well, too. Okay. I like to give them a little shout-out there because their stuff seems pretty legit. Seems like a lot of people use it.
The ones that are in the boxes, right?
Correct. Yeah, like the brown boxes. Yeah. Yep. Huh? Yep. And I just mixed them all together in a 5-gallon after I measured it out and stuff and did little calculations. And then mixed it all together and just spread it across the top of my bed. And I kind of like scratched it in a little bit and then watered it. And that was it. So we'll see if it works. I'm excited to see how it turns out.
That's awesome. That's very cool. Yeah. Last time I amended, it was because I was seeing signs of a nitrogen deficiency. And the funny thing was, I wasn't even paying attention. And I'd posted some shots on Instagram and someone was like, hey, you know, like good setup, blah, blah, blah. But you probably need to amend because like you're showing some signs of nitrogen deficiency. And I was like, deficiency. And I was like, oh, you're right. So, you know, props to, I don't remember who that was, but thank you.
Yeah.
I amended with all those things that we just mentioned and, went a little heavier on the alfalfa and, the worms and the isopods. You know, they broke that down pretty quickly and just on immediate, you know, the next round that went in of plants, there was just, an immediate, difference that I noticed. You know, they're much more, that green was much darker and, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I hope it works out that easy for me as well, too. I also got the biochar, too. Now, I didn't add the biochar because when I bought the bag, imagine this, I was a little high. I forgot you had to charge it. So, you got to charge biochar. So I learned this lesson. This is actually a really good lesson for a lot of people. So if you don't charge your biochar, it acts as an adsorbent. So basically, if you just take biochar out of the bag and you throw it into your soil, it will suck all your nutrients out of your soil.
No shit.
Yes, sir. So I almost screwed myself without paying attention. So I did a bunch of research on it. I'm really glad I did. I'm glad that I took the time to read about it before I just threw it in there because it will literally just suck all your nutrients into that biochar. And then, I mean, you're going to have even a worse problem than you had in the first place.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
That's a good PSA.
Yes. Yes. I thought so too. Cause I had no clue. I thought you could just mix it in. You're like, all right, good to go. Well, no, you actually have to charge it, it with like, either putting it in a compost pile and letting it set for like a week. Or I've seen people say they do it with worm castings and water, but you really want to saturate it somehow.
Interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah. Okay. It's pretty interesting. And the way I think it works is once it's saturated, it will hold in some nutrients and slowly release it throughout your growth when it's needed.
Okay. So basically it's going to take in whatever it's exposed to first and then leach it back out into the soil.
Correct. Later. Yeah. That's correct. And it kind of balances out in the soil as well too, once it's already charged. But if it's not charged, it'll just suck up all your stuff. And I think it has like a symbiotic relationship with the mycorrhizal fungi and like the rhizosphere.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. I think that's how it works, Tim. I could be way off. If I am, I'm sorry, folks. But I think that's how the more in-depth part of it works.
All right. Feel free to not leave a comment if you think Bryce is wrong. Just keep it to yourself, okay? I got you.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate you.
Yeah. All right. So before we jump into the next topic, I want to talk seeds again. Can we? It's kind of. Have you got anything new lately?
Yes, I did. I actually got the from Mountain Organics. I ended up going with the how do you say it? Citron? Is that it?
Oh, Citrone.
Citrone, is that how you say it? The Citrone. You actually kind of talked me into it a little bit after we discussed that some. I did a little more research on the cross and it seems amazing. So nice. I ended up going with that one. And then I got the freebie of the Lotus as well too.
Oh yeah, very cool. I think I have Lotus. I'm not sure.
Honestly, Tim, I'm thinking about popping those. Either I'm going to pop the freebies I got, which is the Tropical Runts from Exotic Mike. I got three of those feminized seeds from him when I bought my cement shoes just from the Artisan Seed Shop.
Very cool. Yeah. I like Artisan. I've only ordered from them once, but it was, I think they were probably like within the last five orders that I placed, and they were really cool. They were very generous with the freebies and just all around pleasant. Yeah,
absolutely. I totally agree with that, man. So, but yeah, so I got those. So I'm either going to pop the Mountain Organic strains or the Exotic Runs. I don't know, for my other tent.
Interesting. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a huge difference there. Exotic Runs or a Mountain Organic strain. That's right. Interesting. I like it. I like it.
Yes, sir. So what about you, brother?
Okay. So I ordered a few packs of Humboldt Seed Company seeds because I only had like one pack of theirs, and it was like a three pack of regs of lemongrass that I got as a freebie like once upon a time, and I had gotten an email from a seed bank. I think it was DC Seed Exchange, yeah, and they were saying that they were they, as in Humboldt, they were dropping some new packs. And so I started looking. I thought, yeah, I'll add some to my collection. So I got a strain called, and these are all feminized, but a pack of Apple Blossom. I don't remember what the lineage is on that. I had to look that up. Yeah. There's Raspberry Parfait, which is a strain called Truffula Tree crossed with Shishkaberry. And then a strain called Jelly Rancher BX3. And Jelly Rancher is notorious THC crossed with something. I don't remember.
I'm not going to lie. I don't think I've really have heard or familiar with any of those.
Yeah, me either. Shishkaberry, yes. I'm familiar with Shishkaberry. That's an older strain. But that, out of those, that's the only one. And then right before that, I got from Rare Dankness, Moonshine's Ghost Train. Which is Moonshine Haze crossed to Ghost Train Haze number one. Those are Fems. And then a couple packs of Useful Seeds, which I really like because they're so like legit with their pricing. They're so down to earth with their pricing structure. Like their Fems are, you get 10 seeds for $60, which is just more than fair these days. Yeah. So props to Useful for keeping it real. Absolutely. A pack of Kosher Tangy S1, which should be Kosher Kush crossed with Tangy, which would be the same as like DNA Genetics 24 karat gold. And then double dipped strawberries, which I want to say was Exotic Mike's strawberries and cream crossed with strawberry diesel, perhaps.
Sounds
perhaps
good.
Perhaps price. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. Have you ever grown this stuff before, Exotic Mike's?
No, negative. I don't have any of his. I don't have any exotic genetics in my library yet.
Yeah, the reason I think I'm leaning towards those tropical runts is they're feminized. That's one thing that I don't know if I want to mess with yet. Getting everything going is picking out males.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. My last round. Yeah, my last round was regular seeds in both tents, and I mean it was fine, but fems are so much easier to plan around. I mean, good lord, like. You know, you want six fems, you plant six fem seeds, done, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. It makes it that easy. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually got a pack of autos as a freebie on one of these last orders, and I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with those. I've never grown an auto, and I'm like,
You have beds in both of your tents, right?
Huh? Yeah.
And I was gonna say if you had them in one of them pots, you could just throw one in the corner of one of your rooms there and just let it grow. But I guess you could just maybe throw it. I don't know. Your plants get so big, though. I don't know if it would. You know,
yeah, I don't know. I don't
shadow
know.
Shadow over it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know what to do there. I have room in my 4x4 to like toss one in there, probably one or two.
There you go.
Because this bubble cover is so small. Man. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Right, man. I think you should. I think you really should just try to throw it in your 4x4 if you got room. It'd be cool just to get it out through veg. They're fun to mess with. Sure. It's just nothing I'd invest time in, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, I mean, I know that people are making like leaps and bounds in the autoflower market. You know, I've never grown one, so I can't say I've tried one autoflower that was grown by a friend and I wasn't impressed. Really, I mean, it was all right, but it was something to write home about, in my opinion.
Right.
But I don't know. I won't knock it till I try it. I'll say
for
that.
For sure. I'll knock it because I tried it. I didn't like it. I just wasn't a fan. And it was probably grower, error on my side. I'll take the blame for it for sure. But they just didn't do what I wanted to. And I'm growing organic. And I do think if I was growing synthetic and pumping those things full of nutrients, it would have worked a lot better.
So the one thing I was going to add about autoflowers is 2020 Mendocino is having their Great American Auto Race. And I don't know if you've seen that, like the ads for that, but
yes.
Yeah, several seed banks are going to be dropping seeds on behalf of 2020. And each household, I think, gets up to two or three free seeds. To participate in the Great American Auto Race with, and I might try that for my first auto run. I don't know.
That's cool. When are they doing that?
So they're going to stagger it across several seed banks. But I think the first drop is happening right around Valentine's Day. Don't remember which bank, maybe Great Lakes. I'm a pretty big fan of 2020 because they're very transparent about what they do, about their quality control, their grow processes. They're not a basement grower. They actually have infrastructure and they have facilities and they have a reputation and they also have a lot of years of work behind them. And they're not a company that you see dropping a strain a month or, even more than that. So, that they're actually putting legitimate work into it and they have, it's a company and it's not, not a person in a basement in a tent. So yeah. I've been liking, their stuff and I've grown their train wreck, a couple of cycles back. And that was some of my favorite stuff. That was my favorite out of 2020, hands down was Mendo's, train wreck. So
I gotta get on their stuff. I haven't really messed with them much at all. I mean, I have none of their stuff and I haven't really looked into it either. So that's something that I might need to check out.
Yeah, I would. And I think they're affordable, and they have a good variety and they do these little variety packs. So you could get I think it's usually three seeds of each strain on Fems and maybe five strains of each on regulars, but you can get I got some sort of Durban multi-pack and it was like three different Durban poison crosses. I really like their, I like their business model. I like their transparency. They openly talk about like their successes and their failures and stuff. And I think if you're open about that stuff, I'm all for it,
Me too, man. Transparency is really big for me when it comes to breeders and even how are they releasing their strains, Are they releasing a new drop every single month? Or are they actually putting in time and effort and testing their strains and making sure that they are good medicine that they're selling?
Right.
That means everything to me. Because, we kind of had a side conversation where earlier talking about you can run someone's whole crop.
Absolutely.
By not making sure it's tested. And, we also had another conversation a couple of days ago about a certain company and the price of their release was ridiculous and it was untested and they were admitting it was untested and it just blew me away. And I know you can say you have your genetics tied down and that they're solid and you know what they're going to produce when you cross it. You still need to test it for the patient just to make sure.
Absolutely. That's the thing that I think a lot of people overlook. Like they try to get on the medical train, we produce, the highest quality medical marijuana seeds, but we don't test them. It's like, what? You've got people who are actually growing your stuff to provide to, cancer patients and, patients with other really severe illnesses that depend on this medicine for quality of life. So test it, drop medical from your name or your business model and just, what I'm saying?
I agree 100%.
Just move on. Like, just call it what it is, be like, Stinky's Fun Seeds or whatever. And not,
Paul and Chuck and Paul.
Just call it what it is. Don't pretend you're not. Because to me, it's a big concern when, okay, so you, for example, you have your cultivator's license and you're a caretaker. And, you know, for us in Missouri, I think we have pretty strict plant count limits, you know, for us, you know, as opposed to like other areas. So if you're a one man show, and let's say you're just growing for yourself, let's say you have Crohn's disease or cancer or whatever the ailment is, PTSD, you know, you herm up a tent and, you know, or you get a tent that herms up and you seed an entire crop, you're fucked. I mean, that's it. You have four more months at minimum if you start right over immediately to get a decent crop in. And that's, you know, breeders are very eager to take your money and sell you on the hype. But you know, there are people who, I mean, do I smoke weed for recreation? Absolutely. You know, do I smoke it for its medicinal properties as well? And do I rely on it for its medicinal properties? Yes.
Yep.
So much.
Guilty of both for sure.
Yeah. You know? So I just think that, I think it's especially heinous to advertise your product as something intended for the medical community, when you're not doing the homework, or, you know, selling your product, you know, seeds in excess of $300-$500 a pack, you know, untested, ridiculous. I mean, these are seeds. And if you've ever grown pot and you've had it seed up on you, you know, whether intentionally or accidentally, you know how much seeds a single cannabis plant can produce, like on a bad day,
an ungodly amount,
thousands of seeds, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the exclusivity and the drops and stuff like that, like limited edition, just stop, man. Like,
I agree.
You know, let's just be real. That's why I have so much respect for people like Useful Seeds, Briscoe's Bark and Beans, Hazeman. I mean, they're selling seeds at what I consider a fair price. Anything sub $100 for 10 seeds? Yes. You know, I will gladly pay $10 for a cannabis seed. You know, I mean, that if it's feminized seed, especially because I know I'm going to be able to produce bud from it on regs, you know, and now
I know that's always really hard to want.
You know, if it's a strain that I really, really, really want and I would be interested in breeding, sure.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
But if it's just something that like I want to grow or I want to try and I'm not really sold on it, I can't do that anymore. I used to, you know, I used to be okay with dropping a few hundred dollars on a pack, you know, but the more time I spend in this, the less inclined I am to drop money on those high dollar hype packs. And the more likely I am to explore like the small breeders and, you know, and chase down the strains that make up the crosses that I like. So for example, one of my favorite strains to date was something that had Super Lemon Haze somewhere in the lineage. Mm-hmm. And the Super Lemon Haze is what shone through. Like that was the dominant terpene profile that really ultra lemony flavor. So I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to go find some Super Lemon Haze and grow that, you know? And I chased that down until I finally found it. I found a pack that Massive Seeds had somewhere at some seed bank. I don't even remember what it was, and just snatched it up. That I'm totally cool with. And I would have paid good money for that.
But you've had that strain and it's been tested. It's well known. It's something that's been out there for a while.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
You know, imagine if corn crops, they started treating it like this, exclusive drops for corn seeds or for soybean seeds. Like, it's just
right.
Where are we doing? It's a plant,
right?
It's a freaking plant, man. So and
it would be even more acceptable because that's a food crop that we depend on to survive. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, right.
If there's anything that should carry that weight, it would be, you know, a food crop,
right?
That kind of commodity.
And dude, no hating on the hype trains. Make your money, do your thing.
Yes.
There's always going to be people who are going to buy it. Make your money, do your thing. I love seeing people be successful, especially from a, you know, underdog story. I love it. I think it's great. Super cool. Do your thing. But it's just like you said, the more I'm into this, the less inclined I am to actually participate in these hype drops.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And it's even some of the run stuff, like the, you know, it's hard for me to spend over $100 or I can justify $150 on like a 7-pack of feminized.
Yes.
And I know I'm going to get feminized. I know it's good and it's a reputable breeder. Then I'm cool with it. I can do that. But it's just, I don't know.
No, totally agree. That's, you know, spending $300-$400, $500 or more on an untested pack of seeds. fuck that all day long.
Yeah.
You know,
buy yourself a Rossin press.
Yes.
Help yourself out.
Yes. Or buy yourself a couple of beds from Honor Cannabis, you know, like, yeah. You know, anything, literally anything else.
Yeah. Literally anything else. Buy me something.
Yeah. Buy
Kevin something. Come on.
We'll drop
the money to good use. Here.
I'm going to start a GoFundMe.
Yeah, my Venmo account is.
Yes, exactly. all right.
Stuff.
So
you also want to talk about some beneficials, correct?
Yes, correct. So,
are you ready to segue into that?
Let's do it. Let's talk about beneficials.
Cool.
So, this is an interesting thing. And I think I might have mentioned this on one of our previous shows, but one of the people on Instagram that I spoke with regularly, I mean, I haven't been on Instagram in like a month, but Lose Organics, he messaged me one day and he's like, hey, dude, your plants are looking good, but also you've got some sign of thrips. And I'm like, nah. And he's like, nah. And I'm like, nah, it's hard water spots. And he's like, no, but you've got that too. But you also have thrips. And I think I was just like in denial. And so he's like, no, really, for real. He's like, look for these things. And I did. And I had them. And I'm like, nah, fuck.
Damn. So he was right.
He was right. He was absolutely right. So props to Lou.
Dude, seeing that picture and being able to tell it, that's impressive.
Dude, no.
That's an experience, man. Like, that's cool.
That kid is smart. Like, honestly, he's a super intelligent.
I'll have to follow him.
You should. He's funny as hell, too.
Okay.
Yeah, LU, Lou's Organics.
Okay.
The best. He's this crazy guy from, like, Massachusetts, and just he's just fun to the max. The first time I talked to him, I'm like, yep, this guy. I like that. But anyway, he's like, you know, you've got thrips. I'm like, ah, shit, because you talk to people and like thrips are they're really a bitch to get rid of. So I've already dealt with fungus gnats. They're kind of with growing organically with the misting system that I have. Like they kind of just they didn't like take a foothold, but they're present. The thrips freaked me out more than the fungus gnats, because at least the fungus gnats, like, it's a root destroying organism like the larvae, and I can easily treat those, and I did with nematodes, predator mites, things like that. But the thrips, you know, nematodes don't touch those. Predator mites, not generally effective against thrips. You really have very few options. Now, I don't want to use chemicals at all. Like, I won't touch neem. You know, and people say it, like, you know, people use it, and I'm like, okay, cool, but I don't want it. You know, it's just one of the.
Have you thought about Dr. Zymes before, or even looked into that?
You know, I've looked at it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do it. Like, I
get it.
Yeah, if there's an alternative to putting, you know, if there's an alternative to applying a substance to my plants, I'm going to go that route.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I don't know why. I mean, honestly, like in my heart of hearts, do I think that Dr. Zymes is going to fuck up my plants and give me cancer when I smoke it? Nope. It's just like, I don't want it. And part of me is
you're a purist, man. I think that's what it comes down to. You're a purist in that stuff. And I like it.
Yeah. And I've got a thing for bugs. I'm not going to lie. Like, they just interest the fuck out of me. So like, I'm all into that, like, symbiosis and just creating a little ecosystem and watching things play out. Like, that's, I'm into that.
Right.
So
right, I get it.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, it's all a little world that we really don't get to see, you know,
dude, legit. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I spend more time than I am proud to admit just sitting up in my grow room, like sitting on the floor, like, you know, eye level to my beds and just watching the little bugs do their thing. And, you know, like, it's just cathartic, you know?
My girlfriend calls me out on that. She's like, you just sit down there in your room for hours. I'm like, yeah, I love it. It's
where are you obsessive. Sitting when I'm sitting down there for hours? Oh, you're sitting upstairs for hours? Okay, then.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. See, Tim, I know you got my back, dude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to say next time.
Yeah, that's right. let me just suggest you don't.
Like, Tim told me to tell you.
But no.
To get your ass back upstairs and set up your ass.
And that was the last time we were ever allowed to record a podcast.
But no, I get it, man. And it is, though. It's like its own little environment that you get to spend some time in. And you were way more knowledgeable on the IPM when it comes to that stuff. Like, I've dabbled in it a little bit. I have some rogue beetles, like I've talked about before. Hapless miles, is that how you say it?
Uh-huh. Those predator mites, yep.
Yep, and I just ordered some new ones because I use that ozone thing, and I just took out everything.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to talk about that too, like big time, because yes. I think we were like, when we ended last time, we were like, let's talk more about the ozone generator.
Yeah.
If we brought it up.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I want you to finish what you were talking
okay,
about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
We'll get back into it. Yeah.
So
I kind of cut you off. Sorry.
No worries. So the what I found to take care of the thrips, they're called minute pirate bugs. And I got
them. Seen that on Arbica.
Yes, that's where I got them from. Insanely effective. And by insanely effective, these things are like the size of a pinhead. And they're just tiny little bugs. And, you know, you apply them to just the foliage of your plants and you sprinkle them on there. And they don't dwell in the soil. They're like soil level and like in the vegetation, but they actively mm-hmm. hunt. Like they're like tiny little like lions of the Serengeti. Like you just, like I could sit there and watch these little fuckers like chase thrips and springtails around. And
that's so cool.
Dude, it's amazing. I mean,
isn't their nickname assassin bugs? Is that the same thing I'm thinking of, or is that a different bug?
Yeah. Okay. Assassin okay. bugs are a lot bigger.
Okay.
Also though, I mean, they sell those at Arbico and they're also fantastic.
That's why I follow that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Now the minute pirate bugs, what makes them really cool is that they can reproduce readily in your grow environment. So, mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to keep buying them. Also, if you run out of, they're extremely aggressive feeders, and they don't just kill to eat. They'll kill for sport, which is unusual amongst like, you know,
that's insects. Cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
super helpful.
Yeah. I mean, like even when they're not eating, they're still, you know, if they see a thrip or if they see a springtail, they're going to run it down and, you know, kill it, which is badass, right?
Yeah. They give me so much. Yeah. Want to go down.
No, it's amazing. Yes. And so
do they work for spider mites too? Do you know?
Yes, they do. Yes. And so
I'm gonna get some for some cautionary, probably.
Yeah, dude. Oh, absolutely. And so I noticed like within, I would say 2 days, no thrips, like not a single thrip anywhere.
Wow.
And you could actually just sit there and watch them, and they like methodically, you know, run up and down the leaves and they're like checking the whole plant. And what they have, their mechanism for like killing other insects, or, well, they're not insects. They're actually true bugs, but, their mechanism right. for killing, little creepy crawlies that we don't like.
They have like a
nose thing called a rostrum. And yeah, so that, you know, pokes out and jabs the bug, and you'll actually watch them walk around with a little like pest insect on their rostrum, just walk around the enclosure.
And you're that's like, so cool.
You're like, you're a badass, dude. Like you're just walking around with your prey impaled on your face, just eat away. Not good.
I like it. Fucking beach true car. Warriors.
Yeah. So, those were incredibly effective for thrips. Now there is a
second. How long ago was this that you put them in there, Tim? I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I would say it's been more than a month.
And they're still active. You can still see them. Like they're still thriving yeah. pretty good. And yeah. they die down after the infestation's gone. So
the other interesting thing about them is if you plant cover crops, I suggest buckwheat, especially because buckwheat produces a lot of flowers that produce a lot of pollen. When they run yeah. out of prey insects, they will actually consume the pollen from plants. So gotcha. You can keep them around and sustain them by having cover crops that flower. So they can feed on the pollen in between, like, you know, pest organisms.
Right.
Now, I told you previously that I was like bringing leaves into the house and like, you know, using yes. those to kind of amend my beds.
Told you were crazy.
Yep. And you were right, because I'm pretty sure that's how I got thrips and fungus gnats and all the weird shit. But
yeah,
saving grace, I also brought in another critter that I didn't know what it was, and I've since identified it. Now here's the thing, you know, you and I have discussed this, and and I'm not going to say what it is, because it's something that's not commercially available yet. And, I've done my due diligence, like I've checked, and no one sells this particular kind of bug. I noticed it in one of my beds, and I was like, oh, this is a weird little fucker. And I killed it. I was like, I don't know what this is. It's probably going to eat my plants. So,
right.
And then I kind of thought, like, maybe I fucked up. But then I noticed a few more, and I spent more time watching them. And the more I watched them, the more I realized that they were acting like predators. So these insects were very observant. You know, like when, I don't know if you've ever like walked up on a praying mantis and it like looks at you and it's, you know, they're like aware of you. That's these things. And you're like, oh, you've got a little something extra going on there. So they're very aware of their surroundings. And also they tend to perch up on things, like they tend to be on the high ground. So I'm like, okay. And I spent like a few weeks just watching their behavior before I finally caught one attacking a springtail. And then I saw them attacking mites. And then, so I'm like, okay, this is a beneficial. And so I did my research. I was able to identify them. And this critter is one that will aggressively eat thrips. I've seen it happen. It will aggressively eat springtails. I've seen it happen. It will aggressively eat soil mites. I've observed that in all stages of life. And once I identified it, I was able to do some research on it. They are aggressive spider mite predators to the point where one will kill and eat up to 40 spider mites per day.
That's crazy.
Exactly.
Dude, that's like a dream for people that have problems with spider mites right there.
Yes.
That is a dream. Now, will they also kill your beneficials as well too?
So, yes, some of them. Okay. They are the reason that that my minute pirate bug population has taken a bit of a dip, because they are more aggressive than them, and the minute pirate bugs are considered a prey item to this critter. So, I mean, the nice thing though is that they get larger than the minute pirate bug. They're much more mobile. And you know, I've gotten to a point where I know that they're breeding because I've seen them mating, and I sent you that picture of the bugs having weird butt sex. You're welcome.
Thank you.
And then also, I've found several, numerous, nymph, stage.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And those also, I've caught them. So the nymphs, I've seen them eating very small, springtails, and I've seen them eating soil dwelling mites. So I know that at all stages of life, they're eating, you know, and I've seen the, you know, I've seen the bigger ones aggressively chase down prey items, like, and be relentless. You know, I mean, it's almost like watching something on National Geographic. They're like, they're running and chasing and running. They're like, you know, they'll get it.
Cool.
They're so aggressive. So my goal is to isolate a population of those and start breeding them, and then, like, you know, share them with people that I know first. Like, you know, I would send you a box and, you know, let you know how it does. And then like, you know, Vic out in California or something, you know, you know, and just see if you guys are finding the same things that I did. And then if I can get enough going, like, you know, try to make them commercially available. That's my mm-hmm. hope at this point, which is why I'm being so cryptic about what it is. Like, you know, because I think it's something that, you know, it probably be pretty easy for most people to find, but
something I would buy immediately if that was a description. I mean, that's what I was looking for, and it seemed like anything I did for my spider mite issue didn't help. I mean, it would knock them down some, you know, from the rove beetles. I had the mites, and I tried everything. I feel like so that's something that I would have bought immediately.
Yeah, for sure. And I, you know, I didn't even know that they existed until I saw one. I'm like, okay,
that's so cool.
Yeah. And it's like, what is this? And this was something that I brought in and just naturally, like, so that's just another testament to, like, the, you know, the magic of, like, nature. You know, we bring in leaves, brought in a bunch of contaminants with it, but then also the beneficials, were they started populating, and they're like, yeah, we've got this, dude, just, you know, sit for a sec. And everything just sort of balanced out. So now I mean, do I have a few fungus gnats? Yes. Are they attacking my plants? No, because I have cover crops, and I have rove beetles, and I have these critters, and I have predator mites. You know, it's an ecosystem. It's not one creature is dominant. It's a balance, and that's nature, you know. And
absolutely,
I'm happy.
That's cool, though, man. You created that in your little tent, and you know, that's what I was trying to do as well too, until I had to destroy everything. I had to kill my babies.
Yeah, that's a bitch. That sucks. Now also aphids, these will work against aphids. Anything that's
do you think root aphids or just regular aphids?
Probably not root, because they won't go down.
You would be like the ultimate bug right there.
Seriously, if you get something that would like go below the surface and above, that would be amazing.
Absolutely.
But yeah, there's something that I'm going to try to keep around as long as possible, because I mean, they're for me, they've been like the ultimate, like any pest that I've had, they've been able to just attack, you know? And yeah. I don't think that there is anything out there right now that's that broad, you know, that, mm-hmm. that will go after, you know, anything from thrips to springtails to leaf-borne aphids. I don't know if the actual like real name for them is, but like the aphids that you right. see on the plants.
Absolutely.
You know, and mites, spider mites, just anything mm-hmm. that's small enough for them to get a hold of, they're on it. And
that's so cool.
Dude, it's the best.
Yeah.
As soon as I have enough, like, let me, so I'm going to try to isolate them and get a population going. As soon as I have like, you know, 10 or more, I'm just going to send you a box when it's warm.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And just see if you can get them to take up residence in your spot and,
be amazing.
Yeah, dude.
I would love that. That would give me a good confidence going into these, next grows, you know?
Oh yeah.
With the Spider-Man issues I've had, that was so frustrating.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
It seems like the thrips are pretty easy though. Once you got your minute or pirate bugs.
Yeah, yeah. That and so
especially the other ones.
Yeah, those things are. You know, I've always heard that they're just a bitch to get rid of. But the minute pirate bugs, man, they knock them down in like 2 days flat. And when I introduced this other creature into the space that had the thrips, I noticed the springtails just virtually disappeared. Like they used to be all over the place, like all over the plant.
Yeah.
And they're like, nope, we're just going to stay down where we belong in the dirt.
Really?
Yeah.
So like you still have a population of them, but they just stay down in the dirt now.
Yes. Yeah. They're that's much crazy. Less likely to be out in the open. Like it's almost like they're exhibiting a prey response. Like it's like they're aware that now there's a predator in the building and they're like, okay, cool, we're just gonna stay down here for a while.
Dude, that is so cool. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. I know why you're obsessed with bugs, man. I mean, it's a cool thing. I mean,
ever since
you literally took a huge risk and brought in some you know, outside leaves and you ended up finding something amazing.
Yeah, made like a little discovery, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's cool, man.
Yeah,
that is really cool. I hope it works out and you can get that population going.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'll tell you what, though. Honestly, like, as soon as I get a stable population, like, I'm mailing mm-hmm. you some of these bugs because I,
cool.
you know, and then you can just let me know, like, hey, they stop or they work, or you know, they
absolutely,
also bite. Man. They and it hurts like a fucking. No, I'm serious. I picked one up and I'm like, oh, you little thing, and I was just moving it to the other enclosure, and I'm like, ow, what, you know, and then like I had this welt and I'm like, you mother bitch. It got me. It was so painful.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
good to know.
Yeah. So I think that these critters that I've been breeding could be some awesome generalist predators, and that's kind of my goal, to get them bred, make them right. commercially available, you know, and then just start releasing them and just see if we can get like the better pest remover. You know what I'm saying?
Tim's Badass Predators, yo.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna call them. Tim's Badass Predators, yo.
Yo, that's it.
.com/ of.
Oh man, well this has been a good conversation, Tim. I've enjoyed this, brother.
No, I needed this. Yeah, for sure. This was much needed, and we need to do the next one before we wait 2 months or whatever it's been.
Yeah, absolutely agreed, man. I agree 100%. So is there anything else that you want to talk about? You're all good, huh?
No, I'm done talking.
Done talking.
Fuck this shit. I'm over.
I'm over.
That's what happens when I'm trying to do stuff. I'm like, fuck this shit. I'm over it.
That's how we end every podcast. Fuck this shit. I'm over. Just log off. Yeah, boom. That's it.
Yeah. No. This is great. If there is anybody still listening, thank you. We appreciate you. Kudos for hanging in there. You know.
Absolutely, I agree. I do. I appreciate anyone who listens to this, whether you hate it, love it, whatever. I do appreciate it. It's kind of what keeps us going here.
Yeah, for sure. All right, brother. Well, my Ring doorbell is going off, so that means that there's a cat in my yard, because that's all that fucking thing's good for. So,
all right. Well, you take care of your cat, and you have a good night, Tim, and we'll do this again soon, okay, brother?
All right, Bryce. Take care. We'll see you.
Later, man.
Later.